Beth is the mom of our Sean, who says so many funny things around here. But today, Sean got the Good Boy Award in Junior Church, so she's pleased with that. Thank the Lord for the progress our children make. go to your Bible in Psalm 143 again, and let's talk a little bit about being overwhelmed. Sometimes as believers, you know, we get in those circumstances, and we do feel that way, and we think, oh, man, things are really bad, and I'm really away from the Lord, and other people don't go through this. No, that's not the case at all. I talking to someone a while back about feeling overwhelmed, and saying they said to me this, said, seems like, you know, when I come to church, I'm looking at all these people, and it seems like I got it all together, and, you know, things are in control, and they're following the Lord, walking the Lord, and they're experiencing God's grace and blessing in their life, and, you know, and I've got all these things going on, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, this is me and that's them. No, we're all in those circumstances from time to time, and we're all just by the grace of God here. We all have issues that we face in our lives, our finances, our families, our health. Those things are common to all of us, and so you're in good company here today if you're sometimes feeling overwhelmed. And so we are seeing here David was one of those, and if David came to the place of being overwhelmed, certainly you and me, who are not in David's league in many respects, you and me can have that sense as well. So here we are. He says, my spirit's just overwhelmed within me, and my heart is desolate. He thought he was feeling like that. He was at the place where, you know, he was just dried up, and he said in another part of the passage we read, he said, it's like I'm down among the dead. I'm in the grave. My company is the dead. And so that's the way his life was feeling. That's the way his walk was feeling. That's the way his spirit was at that time. And so he was in that place. Now, he faced a great degree of danger that most of us probably haven't faced. He was being, you know, harassed by Saul's army, by the king. He was doing everything he could to keep out of the clutches of the armies of Saul, and the stated purpose of Saul was to kill him, and so certainly he had a right to feel at times overwhelmed when he was surrounded by the enemies, his enemies being Saul's forces. When he was surrounded by those enemies and the threat was for his very life, certainly he could have justification, I think, for feeling overwhelmed. So we don't, most of us probably haven't been at any time in our life at the place where our life was literally threatened. Some have, but not too many of us have had that experience where our life is literally threatened and we're feeling overwhelmed that way. But you can have the sense of being overwhelmed when as it happens in our life, there are circumstances that come, and it seems often when one thing happens, another follows short on its heels, doesn't it? It seems that way. When we have a financial difficulty, then some health concern comes up, some health crisis. Or when we have this going on over here, all of a sudden we've got this big family conflict going on over here, you know, and all these issues happening within our family, our extended family, and this is happening, and that's going on, and I'm facing this, and I'm trying to help this, and we feel overwhelmed. We just want to just give it up and say, God, you know, where are you? Where's my help? And so we see that happening with David here, and I want you to see that David felt that same way, and David at times felt like God wasn't hearing him, and the heavens were brass. Let me assure you that God is very present, and he is willing to listen, willing to hear, willing to help. But David's means of getting past this was what we need to follow as well. Now, David started the right way, as you see. He begins by going back to God in prayer, and he's appealing to God not based on anything of himself. Like, God, you know, this isn't fair. Or God, you know, why is this happening to me? Or God, I'm trying to do all the right things and look what's going on. See, he didn't approach God that way. He didn't try to justify himself. He came to God and said, I'm appealing to you because of your righteousness, God, because of your goodness and your grace. He said, hear my prayer. Give ear to my supplications in thy faithfulness, in your faithfulness, God. Give ear to my supplication because I know you're faithful and you have promise to hear your children when they call on you. Give ear to my supplication. Give ear to my prayer because of your righteousness. She said, I'm not foolish enough to enter into the prayer room of God and call on God to help me based on it's not fair to me and why is this happening to me and I'm trying to be a good person. It's not the way we do it. And he sees that in verse 2. He says, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. So he said, Lord, I know that I deserve judgment and I don't want to appeal to you based on my righteousness. I appeal to you based on yours. So that's the place to start, my friends. That's the place to begin. The basis that David began with in praying to God for help. And so he gets to that place and then he acknowledges something that we need to. He admits where he's at, you know. He admits, man, God, I'm overwhelmed. My heart's desolate. That means his heart wasn't, you know, where he knew it should be. It wasn't soft. It wasn't tender. It wasn't in close communion with the Lord at that time. His heart was desolate. And it's okay to admit that, you know, that, Lord, I feel overwhelmed. I feel like that the next step I take is maybe my last. And here I am, God. Here's the condition I'm in. Here's the condition my heart's in. He was just honest with God about it, and we need to do the same. We need to be have that same transparency. You know, I like that about our church family. You know, we don't try to put on pretenses and pretend that there's no issues in our lives and we're all, you know, just really got it together and we're just all, you know, super saints and that. No, we recognize the frailty of our human weaknesses, and that's what David was doing here. He acknowledged the place he'd come to. He acknowledged where he'd gotten to because of all these oppositions and all this stuff that was going on in his life. He recognized that he had gotten to the place where he just said, Lord, I'm completely overwhelmed. I can't do this anymore. And that's really a good place for you and me to get to, you know, to say, Lord, I can't swim anymore. It's too deep. The water's too deep for me. I can't swim anymore. Please help me to keep from drowning. And that's where he did. Now, first, let's see the practical things that he did in getting to the place where we find him at the end of his song. The things that he did. First of all, you see, he said, I'm going to go back and remember. I'm going to remember the days of old. So he's taking a look back now to start with. He's overwhelmed. His heart's desolate. So he's taking a look back. And he says, I'm going to take some time to meditate on thy works. Here's an indication that we miss a lot as Christians in this busy world. We see in the Bible, it talks about meditation. And meditation is stopping long enough to think through and think on the goodness, the greatness, the grace of God, these kinds of things. So David said, I'm going to look back a little bit. I'm going to remove myself back mentally a little bit from where I'm at right now. And I'm going to meditate on all thy works. So he's going back and doing what you and me need to do. He said, I'm going to look back and think about all the times in my life that you have intervened and helped me. All the times in my life that you have intervened and answered prayer. I'm going to look back on that and I'm going to spend some time thinking about that. Thinking about that. He'd been spending all his time thinking about Saul, thinking about the armies of Saul, thinking about being surrounded, thinking about where am I going to hide, thinking about what am I going to do. And he says, I'm going to quit thinking about all that. Quit thinking about all these things that are overwhelming me, and I'm going to spend some time just thinking on all the times in my life God's been so good to me. God has worked in my life. And so he says, I'm going to start there. He said, I'm going to muse on the works of thy hand. To amuse, we like to be amused, and you know what that means? It means to be put in a position where you don't have to think at all, you know, where you don't have to think at all. So we plop down in front of the television set and we watch a program and we're being amused because we don't have to think. We don't have to supply anything. When you read a book, you have to think and you have to create the scenes in your mind. That's why you can really get into a book, a good book, and you can do that because your mind is capable of creating scenes and so forth and filling in the details that are there. But when you sit down in front of a television set, it's there. The picture's there. The words are there. The sound is there. The action's there. Everything's there. So you're just being amused, you know. I go to the amusement park to be amused, you know. not to think, just to, you know, ride the scary rides and that. So we, Wendy and I rode a roller coaster back in Tennessee when we were there, and we said, we're getting too old for this. It was like the tornado rocket or something like that, you know, and it was like, oh, we can do this, you know. Man, we both got off, staggered off, you know, and we were the rest of the day running around the amusement park just trying to recover from the ride. So we're probably not going to do that one. We'll do the kiddie ride, you know, we'll do the kiddie roller coaster and ride with, you know, say we're riding with grandkids on that, we'll do that. So we go to amusement parks to be amused so we can get away. We don't want to think about anything. We just want to have fun and be amused. But David said, I'm going to think. I'm going to deliberately think on the works of God's hands. So he wasn't particularly talking about what God had done in his life personally, but he said, now I'm going to go past that and just think about the greatness of God. I'm going to look out at this creation and think of what God has done, placing the stars in heavens. I'm going to look out on the great fields and forests of the world and think about what God has done. I'm going to think about the works of God in the waters of the world, in the way of the world. I'm going to think about the things that God has done by the power of his hand. So that's the first thing that he did when he's getting back to where he needs to be and getting past the sense of being overwhelmed. He does some thinking back there. And then he consciously reaches out to God in verse 6. He says, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. And then he describes it in this way. He says, I do this in my soul, and I do it like a thirsty land is thirsting for the rain. I do it like a thirsty man is thirsting for the water. I stretch out my hands unto thee. I stretch out I stretch forth my hands unto thee, and my soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. So that's something else practically he did that he wasn't doing before. When he's overwhelmed, he said, I need to get back on track with what my soul's need is. I'm glad that he specified that. He had physical needs because it was his physical body that was being threatened with death, you know. So he had physical issues, but he isn't focusing on those now when he's coming to being overwhelmed. He said, the issue is my heart. It's a desolate heart. The issue is the things that are happening in my life are beyond just the threats of this king. Things are happening in my life, my heart, that have put a barrier between me and my closeness with God. And so he says, it's my soul that has the greatest need here, my soul. You tonight, it's not our physical needs that's the greatest one. It's our soul. It's our soul's need, you know. It's our spiritual need. That's the greatest one. And David got overwhelmed with the fact that his physical being was being threatened, that he was, you know, he was being hunted. Javelins were being thrown at him. Arrows were being shot at him. There was physical danger. But he said, there's something worse than that. There's something more dangerous than that, and that's the danger to our soul, to our spirit. And he recognized that. So he consciously reaches out to God in that sense and says, God, help me there. Then he got back on the platform of trusting God. Remember Brother McCracken's illustration, how we trust God over here, but we keep hopping off the platform of trust and getting back to worrying and fretting, you know, and then coming back to trusting God, I trust you and I'm ready, but hopping off the platform again into worry and fretting. So David did the same thing. In fact, 42 times in the Psalms, he reminds himself, I've got to go back to trusting in God. So David had to keep reminding himself, I've got to trust in God. I got to trust in God. He got that way, and even sometimes a day didn't pass before he got back into the position where he wasn't trusting God and had to reaffirm that trust. So over and over again in the Bible, you have that call to trust God and that need for getting back on that platform, as he did in verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. In thee do I trust. You can see it. I muse, I meditate, I look back, I trust. So these are things that he just did. He just said, to get past this, I've got to consciously revisit and reaffirm my trust in God. I've got to do that. The last thing he did was he just picked up where he was instead of running away from Saul, he ran to the father. In verse 9, he says, I flee unto thee to hide me. Lord, I've been trying to hide in caves. I've been trying to hide in other people's houses. I've been trying to hide across the border over in Syria. I've been trying to hide in with friends. I've been trying to find places to hide from Saul. And he said, now I'm running from Saul, but now I want to run to thee. That's what you and me need to recognize. We, you know, get to where we're running from those things that are overwhelming us. We're running from the report of, you know, the cancer that we're going to be facing. We're running from the conflict that is there in a family that is unresolved. We're running from the issues in our finances and saying, you know, I've got all these things piling up on me. I'm going to just run from them. David was doing that, and we do that. We do that. It's a natural response, you know, to fight or to flight. It's a natural response if we don't feel like we can fight anymore to just do the flight thing and run from it and get away from it. The trouble is those problems don't stay where they are and let us get away from them, do they? They follow us. They come with us. The hope of getting over there to the green pastures and the pleasant meadows and the easy life. It's just we get over there and all our problems come over there with us. You know, we get out of one situation with conflict in the family and we immediately get into another one with another conflict with another family. So it is not the right response to just run away from those things that are overwhelming us. The running, the race, the response is to run to the Father, to flee to instead of fleeing from. And that's what he got that. I flee unto thee, you know. Usually the word flee, you know, you think about fleeing, it's talking about running away from something. But he says, I'm fleeing unto thee. So it's the opposite direction of our carnal, natural minds to think. And he's done that. So he does that step. And, you know, he said, and I don't know, practically speaking, you're saying, well, preacher, how do we do that? How do we flee to God? You know, how do we do that? Well, think about it. How do we do that? I don't know how else we do it, but to flee to wherever he is, you know, wherever his name is. If he says in the Bible that he's chosen out a place to put his name there, that's a good place to flee to God, you know. And he has said that in the Bible. He has said that. He said that his house, his congregation, his people is where his name is. And so that's a good place to flee to when you're overwhelmed. Not to do what we naturally think. I'm just, you know, those people got it together there, and so I shouldn't be there. It's the opposite. That's what the devil's telling us. Yeah. The fact is, because I'm overwhelmed, because I don't have it together, because my heart is desolate, I need to follow David and flee to where the Lord is. I need to flee to the place that he's put his name there, his house, and among his people. I need to flee to his word, not running from it. I need to get back to it. I need to flee to the throne of grace, that is the place of prayer, and enter into the throne room, boldly enter in with my petition, see, and not to flee from it. The devil says, you know, you're such a mess. You're overwhelmed. Look at this mess. You got this, you got that going. God's not, you know, hearing you. God's not with you. And he's telling you to flee from those places. Stay out of church. Quit praying. Quit trying. It doesn't work anyway, you know. What good is it spent wasting your time reading your Bible? You know, those are the things that the devil whispers. And he's encouraging you to do the opposite of what the Lord is saying here. So David said, that's the end of that. I'm going to flee unto my Lord. And that's what he did. That's the last thing that he did there. Now with that, there's four things that he asked God to do for him. And you're going to need to ask God to do these same things when you are facing these conditions of being overwhelmed. You're going to need to ask God to do the same things he did. Number one is that he asked God to hear him in verse 7. These are things he asked God to hear me speedily, O Lord. It's like the idea of a drowning man who's crying for rope. He's not saying, you know, when you get around to it, if you could throw me a rope. He's saying, please help, throw me a rope, you know, throw me a rope. And that's, it's an immediate need. It's an immediate need there. So that's what he's doing. He's asking the Lord to speedily, to quickly hear him, because he has an immediate need, and that need is deliverance and help. So that's what he's asking God to do. Secondly, he's asking God he's saying this. He's saying, now, God, hear my request, hear my prayer. And he's already asking the right way based on God's righteousness, you know. So he said that already. But then he says this. He says, God, cause me to be able to get it, to be able to understand, to be able to hear you. Lord, I want you to hear me, but then I need your help to be able to hear you. Cause me to hear thy loving, verse 8, thy loving kindness in the morning. Cause me to be able to hear God. So when you're overwhelmed, that's one of the things you're going to ask God. Lord, help me hear what you're telling me, you know. I'm thick-headed and slow to get things, you know. It takes me like three seconds after everybody else gets a joke to get the joke, you know. Some of you like that. And so I'm slow and thick-headed in many ways. And so I'm glad that David put this in here. Say, Lord, you know, you're going to be speaking, but I'm thick-headed enough I don't really get it. I don't hear it sometimes. So, Lord, I want to ask you to help me hear you. I want to ask you to help me hear your loving kindness, hear your word. So we ask God to cause us to be able. You know, it's a great thing. There's nothing we have to generate in our own power here. We're just asking God to cause us to be able to hear him. And that's his work through us, to us. It's nothing we got, you know, nothing we've got to gender up within ourselves. That's a great blessing. And so he asked him for that. Now, when he does that, he says the next thing. He said, now, Lord, cause me to, after hearing you, cause me to be able to know the proper steps to take. You ever known something that you got to do something, but you just have no clue about what direction to go with that, you know? You ever get, and that's the way it is with conflicts. You're there and you're thinking, what am I supposed to do now? You know, I want to do what God wants me to do, but what is that? What is that? What am I supposed to do? So David says this. He asked God to show him the next steps to take. He says, cause me, in verse 8, the second part, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. And you got to ask God the same thing when we're overwhelmed. Lord, I need help, and I need to get past this, but I need to know what's next. What's the next step, Lord? What do I do now? What do I do now? And then what direction should I take? I need to go the right direction. The Bible says there's a lot of directions, doesn't there? There's many directions you could take. And it says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And it says it twice in the book of Proverbs. Says that the ends thereof are the ways of death. So he says there's lots of different ways. And David's looking at this. He's saying, God, there's lots of choices I could make. I could go to the left. I could go to the right. I could go back in the cave. I could go across the border. You know, I could go out and fight. I could face my enemy. What am I supposed to do? And it's a blessing to be able to see that David's telling us here, you can ask God what to do next and what the next step is that you need to take. And he'll show you. He will guide you in that. He said, I'll guide thee in the way. There'll be a voice behind you saying, turn not the right hand to the left. Let thine eye look right on. He guides us by his word. He guides us by his Holy Spirit. And he will. He'll be like a practical guide to you and just tell you what step to take, where not to step, where to step, you know. He'll give it all to us. And he's promised that if we ask him for it, as David did there. So the next thing he says in verse 9, he says, I want to ask God another thing from you. I want to ask you to deliver me. And that's kind of incorporated into all the thought that he has here. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Deliver me from my enemies. So here he's been trying to figure out how to keep out of the hands of the enemies, how to do it himself, you know, how to handle these problems, how to deal with this financial crisis, how to respond to this health issue, what steps to take next, and all this. He's been trying to do it himself. But now he says, Lord, I'm at the place where I'm ready to just trust you and depend upon you entirely. And so I need you to deliver me. I need you to deliver me. Then he says next of the Lord, he asks him these things. He says, Lord, would you teach me? Would you teach me in verse 10? Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Teach me to do thy will. Lord, I don't have sense enough to know what the right thing to do is. And I need you to just teach me how to do your will. I need you to teach me to see your will, need you to teach me to do your will. So he says that, and you and me need to ask that same thing of God when we're overwhelmed. He says, then lead me, Lord. Lead me as we go on down there. He says, teach me to do thy will. And he says, lead me into the land of uprightness. You're looking over there at the green pastures. You're looking over there at the forest. You're looking over at the beauty, the sunsets, the happy days, you know, the peacefulness, the joy, the fulfillment. And over there, you're seeing that. And you're thinking, boy, I wish I was there. I wish I was there in that land of uprightness, you know. I wish I was there in that place, wherever that place is. And so David's saying, Lord, would you lead me to that place? Would you lead me to that place where my life is that way? That's the description of my life. It's a place of uprightness. It's a place of peace. It's a place of knowing that I'm exactly where you want me to be. Lead me there, Lord. Last thing he asked the Lord to do is to quicken him, verse 11. He said, Lord, I feel like I'm in the grave. I feel like I'm dead. I feel like I'm desolate. I've been down there in the hole. I've been down the pit. It's like, man, I'm just hanging by a thread here. So he said, Lord, would you restore me to life, to the kind of life that is pleasing to you? In verse 11, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. See, he keeps going back. He's a smart psalmist as he goes back to the Lord and appeals to God's righteousness and God's mercy and God's grace instead of anything in himself. He says, Lord, give me back my life from this state that it's in now of being desolate and being overwhelmed. Give me back my life. And the Lord is ready to do that. And when David did that, I hope that as you and I do the same thing when we're feeling overwhelmed, which all of us will or are or have been or will be, you know, we're all going to be there, and we're not there now. We're all going to be there from time to time, and we need to follow David's example. And then we need to also remember there's one other thing that David acknowledged when he came through all that, and when God began to go back to work in his life, he acknowledged something that you and me need to as well, and that's the bottom part of verse 12. He said, when it's all said and done, the last notes of the song, as he sung the song, as the notes faded away, he said, for I am thy servant, for I am thy servant. And that's the last note we need to sing in our song, you know, when we're appealing to the Lord for our help. And when he's begun to work, then we're going to do what David did. We're going to say, Lord, here am I, send me, I am your servant. See, we don't want to ask for the help of the Lord and just say, Lord, and then I want to just keep doing the way I was doing before and go the way I was doing before. We want to say, Lord, I am thy servant. I'm here. My life is yours. I'm surrendered to you. So are you there where you're overwhelmed? Well, thank God there's a solution to that. It's in the scriptures. It's in the example David gave us here in Psalm 143. Let's stand together and ask the Lord to help us as we all come from time to time to those places and we have those enemies. Let's ask the Lord to help us to respond like David did. Okay, let's pray, and we'll have a verse of invitation. Father, we ask that your will would be done in this invitation time. And Lord, I know that many of us do at times in our life feel like giving it all up, feel overwhelmed, and feel just like the disasters of life have all hit at once, and we're like in this tsunami of trouble that comes in so many ways. And God, that's very, very discouraging. And Lord, we can sure relate to David when he said, I'm just overwhelmed and my heart's desolate and I feel like I'm just down in a black hole in a pit. And Lord, I thank you for the fact that you gave David an understanding of how to respond to that, what he did and then what he asked you to do and what happened as a result of that. We read of David's kingdom being established and that his life and future was one of many, many blessings from the Lord as a result of coming through a most overwhelming circumstance. Lord, we know that David faced some terrible situations in his family relationships, in his relationships with friends, colleagues, co-workers, and fellow servants. We know that he faced issues that affected him bodily and spiritually and in his soul and his mind. And we know these things are so, Father, but we pray that as we think of all that, and how he here responded and what you did, we pray that we would too. I pray that we would be able to, after responding the way he did, to be able to say with him, Lord, for I am thy servant. Use me and just let me be what you want me to be. And so I pray, Father, that you bless the invitation time and that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing 816, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.